In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The current cultural conditions, both in the United States and around the world in the last several weeks, have placed quite a few people in a very precarious situation, particularly in our own nation. And the Holy Father, the Pope, at odds with the president, which is not a new thing, but its public nature is new. Pitting certainly the two most powerful Americans in the world, at least as the media would portray it, one against another. In the absence of all of the necessary information, in the absence of the truth, it's hard to know which news one should follow or what direction or decision one would make. And it's unfortunate for those who seek to be faithful and obedient servants to Holy Mother Church, but also patriotic and devoted Americans, that they must find themselves in that very precarious situation, that they are forced to choose, or they are being asked to somehow reconcile realities that should not necessarily be at odds with each other. I'm not necessarily sure I'm in a position or, and frankly, even interested in trying to necessarily reconcile that or give you information or insight as to how you might go about doing that in your life. What I am concerned about, however, is that we all understand that in the final analysis, what this has revealed to us is that our citizenship is not here on earth. And as much as we do indeed love this country, as well we should, for all the freedoms we enjoy and the blessings that we receive, our citizenship is not here. And that may be difficult for some to hear, accept, and understand. Your dignity, your identity, is as a Catholic, a baptized believer in the mystery of our Lord and Savior, a willingness to suffer and die and to follow him wherever it is that he might lead you. Which also means, on the other side of this, that if somehow the Pope may find himself in conflict with Christ and Holy Mother Church, our allegiance is not to the Pope either. Our allegiance is to truth, to God in Christ. We should never find ourselves in a situation where we have to choose, but this is where we are right now. Now, we can clutch our pearls and feel sorry for ourselves and wring our hands and somehow bemoan the fate in which we find ourselves, which gets us absolutely nowhere except a life of anxiety, or we can come back to what it is that we celebrate on the second Sunday after Easter, that Christ is the Good Shepherd. His is the voice to which we listen, and the only voice to which we listen. And even if it might be obscured by those who think they know what the truth is, or those who should be devoted to that truth, the truth is written on our hearts. It's written into the fabric of our being. It is who we are by virtue of baptism, grafted unto Christ himself. Are there complexities that somehow make it difficult for us to see the clear road? That is true. Are there complications that are unique in particular to the age in which we find ourselves? That also may be true. But in the final analysis, we're really actually not that unique. And modern man is really not that interesting. This isn't the first time that the church has found herself in conflict with dominant culture, society, or that kings have warred against the Pope, or that the Pope has excommunicated countries. This isn't unique. History is replete with this tension, this fight. And the church has continued to prosper and grow and flourish precisely because all of the ordinary people kept their sights on what was significant. And that was the Good Shepherd himself. They listened to his voice. They trained themselves to hear his voice, not only as it is proclaimed in sacred scripture or in the full teachings of the church, but in the quiet of their prayers. They fostered relationship and intimacy with Christ so that they could always hear his voice among all of the shouting and the clamoring and the din of the world in which they find themselves. And so it must be for us as well. As I often say from this spot, I am not a perfect practitioner of the things that I offer to you and the things that I preach to you. So if you are looking to me to be the exemplar of what I say to you, you need to look elsewhere. But that does not detract from what it is that I'm saying to you.
And I offer it to you precisely because I need to remind myself of these same things, especially the last phrase of St. Paul, or the exhortation from St. Peter, that he is the shepherd and the guardian of our souls. Not only do we follow the Lord because he has put together a good book of theorems that make my life easier, Christ is not some guru or life coach to which I go to get my life in order. He is the shepherd of my soul. My very existence depends upon Christ. Now, we can hear this proclaimed in sacred scripture, but we have to ask ourselves, especially as we come forward to receive the living God, does my life reflect this truth? Do I live as a man, a woman, a believer in the fullness of Holy Mother Church and the truths of Jesus Christ, such that everything about my existence is conformed to Christ? Oh, Monsignor, you're asking too much. Not everything conformed to Christ. Some things, yes. Those things that maybe I choose on my own, those things that are easy or convenient, those things that may make me popular in society and culture, those things that actually cost me nothing. Well, there is no fine print, brothers and sisters, that allows us to pick and choose what we will and will not follow. There is no fine print that excuses us from the totality of giving ourselves completely to the Lord, most especially when we fail, which we do. We stumble and we fall and we sin. Sometimes we compromise because it's easier to give over than it is to stand up and be strong. Sometimes we are afraid of what others might think about us or what might happen to us if I put out into the deep and teach and preach and live as I should. And while on the natural level all those things might be valid, you are a supernatural creature. By virtue of your baptisms, you've been transformed into something greater than just mere flesh. And our Lord himself in the mystery of his resurrection has confirmed that. And so now you must live accordingly. We must live accordingly. And as we have been warned throughout all of sacred scripture, throughout all of histories, do not look among men for the things that God can provide. Do not look to principalities, mights, or governments to give you that which Christ has already bestowed upon you. The reason for my intensity and my earnestness, which always seems to be ratcheted up two or three levels when friends bombard me with all of these things that they're asking me to read, is because I have grown weary, both in myself, my selfishness, my weakness, my laziness, my indifference, my fear. I've grown tired of that in my own life, and I've grown tired of that in the life of Holy Mother Church. I don't understand what we are waiting for. I don't know what it is that we expect. Some secret knowledge that God will poof put in your mind and now everything will be perfect. That God will take away from you your free will so that you will perfectly cooperate with him and therefore you won't have to worry about anything anymore. I don't know what it is that we're waiting for. I don't know what it is that I expect other than that which has already been explained to me. That which has already been given to me. There is nothing hidden or secret. There is no private cachet of knowledge that Christ is holding back for the initiates and the rest of us have to flail around in the darkness to find it. Everything has been revealed. All truth has been given to us. Grace poured out upon grace. Everything is there for us to live as we should. All that is required, the only thing that is required, as we hear in the epistle, as we understand in the gospel, is to hear and listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd, to hear what Christ is saying. And the message that he's bestowing upon us is not new. It doesn't change from week to week. There's no code that you have to have to decipher the message. And so again, why do we complicate it? Why do we confuse it? Why do we compromise? And those aren't rhetorical questions. You have to ask yourself how we have arrived in this position. And it isn't just simply because we're being pushed and pulled by evil spirits. Yes, Satan prowls about the world seeking the ruin of souls, but quite frankly, brothers and sisters, we've made it quite easy for him right now. He has very little to do. And he just simply is sitting back and allowing us to tear ourselves apart. precisely because we've chosen to compromise with the world. We've chosen ease and expedience over truth. We've chosen comfort over putting ourselves on the cross or sharing the cross with our Lord. And whether we've done this intentionally, which unfortunately happens at times, or more often than not, simply unintentionally, the vagaries of the human condition such that it wears us down after time, and we do at times grow tired of doing good. But in truth, we cannot. Not only for the salvation of the whole world, which needs the truths of Holy Mother Church, but for our own salvation, for your own soul. He is the pastor, the shepherd, the bishop of your soul. He is the one who leads you not only in this life, which may or may not interest you, but more important, in the life to come. And maybe ultimately therein lies the greatest difficulty. We don't contemplate heaven, and we're not afraid of hell. We think we can live in this life as we should, as we want, do as we please, when we want, how we want. We understand that there might be some, if you will, responsibilities or consequences for the things that we do, but we don't really think further than maybe the guilt that will compel us to go to confession. We don't think to the fact that I'm living now as I want to live for all eternity. I'm in relationship with the one who truly does adjudicate my existence here on earth and in heaven. And as merciful as he is, and indeed he is infinitely merciful, I cannot presuppose that mercy. I can't simply act as if it will be willingly bestowed upon me if I'm unwilling to do the very things that needed to be done in order to receive that mercy, to ask for that mercy, to cry out for that mercy, and to live in such a way that I become worthy of the new life that has been given to me. And so think on heaven and be afraid of hell. Where will you spend? Not just tomorrow night. That's too easily answered. Where will you spend all eternity? God, of course, wants you to spend it with him. And so, again, there's nothing secret. There's nothing hidden. God hasn't lied to you. He wants you to be with him. He has gone before us to prepare a place for us that where he is, we might always be, he says. Always. But to traverse this road that we find ourselves on requires that we listen to his voice. And yes, the Lord is at his rightful place at the right hand of the Father. He is on his throne of justice. But his voice is still speaking to us, most eloquently here from the Blessed Sacrament, from the altar of sacrifice. So you don't have to clean out your ears to hear him. All you need to do is to train yourself to listen. We are grateful. We are blessed that Christ is indeed the Good Shepherd. And he is good to us in ways that we do not always fathom, understand, or see, and certainly in ways for which we are always and ever undeserving, but good nonetheless. And since in his goodness he has done everything for us, can we not in turn, in an act of thanksgiving, an expression of gratitude, listen to what it is that he says to us? Follow wherever it is that he might lead us, knowing that wherever Christ will lead us will always and only be for our good. The answer to those questions is yes. The task that rests before us today is then to do precisely that. He is the Good Shepherd. His sheep know him and he knows them. And in that intimate union of shepherd and sheep, he draws us into union with the Father and the Spirit. Let him take custody of your soul. Let him direct the fullness of your life. Enjoy peace in this life and face-to-face union with him in the life to come. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.